When the Oregon legislature gets down to business next month, its biggest task is putting together a budget for the next two-year budget cycle starting July 1st of this year. Groups are already making their wishes for the next budget clear. The Oregon School Boards Association is now a couple of months into a campaign called The Promise of Oregon, highlighting the achievements of individual students from schools across Oregon to make a case for the funding, better funding, for all students and all schools. Betsy Miller-Jones is the executive director at OSBA, the Oregon School Boards Association, and our guest on The Exchange. Betsy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to be here.
Let's start with the easy stuff. What is OSBA? It's been around for a while.
Oregon School Boards Association is a association of locally elected school boards across the state of Oregon. We have members from K-12, educational service districts, community colleges, and we have associate members that are charter school boards. And the boards make up the association. They direct our legislative work, and we provide services to them and to their districts.
So is it safe to assume that the Oregon School Boards Association is frequently pushing for greater funding for schools?
Yes, we are. That has been a prime focus over probably the last 10 to 15 years, particularly during the tough times that we've gone through.
And how much of a decline was there? I mean, I know that the legislature was struggling to come up with ways to hold schools as harmless as possible, but there were teacher layoffs and an increase in class sizes, as I understand it, through the recession. So what was the general budgetary impact?
You know, there's a lot of different ways to look at it, and I could get you some of that data, but as a percentage of the general fund is where we often look at it, because costs increase and the percentage has declined, and then in the last legislative session, we started to have a turnaround, but we're not back to being the equivalent of where we were 10 years ago in terms of percentage of the general fund, which is just one way of looking at it.
One way, certainly. When you think about the things like class sizes and overall teacher population, student-teacher ratio, stuff like that, are those getting close to where they were? Or are they still a bit apart?
No. We still have, and when we often compare nationally, we still have very large class sizes. We have a very short school year, and our graduation rates are on the low end and not where we want them to be.
Our graduation rates are below 70%, is that right?
Statewide, yes. And again, we run into, there are numerous ways to measure it, and there's some conversation that other states measure it a little differently, but we know we are on the low end, and below 70% is the number that's typically used for Oregon.
The method of measurement does make it interesting, because I noticed, too, from looking at some of the material over the years, that there are some measures like students who graduate with their class on time.
Correct, yes, and we've actually encouraged and made it possible for students in high schools in Oregon to move on to community colleges. And if for those districts that have encouraged students to take an extra year to do that, then that impacts their graduation rate negatively because those students aren't graduating on time. There's a lot of discussion about that, and there will be more in this legislative session about that. We want to do the best things for kids, and certainly going on to community college is, but we have to look how it's funded and how it impacts all students across the state.
Betsy, give us the outline, if you would, of the Promise of Oregon campaign.
Oh, I'd love to. This is new, led by our board of directors, who are all locally elected school board members from around the state, who said, you know, we need to really step back and look at the bigger picture and talk to everyone in the state of Oregon about how important education is to our economy and our future, and we need to do it in a way that tells individual stories, because we can sling big numbers at everyone. You know, we've got almost 700,000 students and things like that, and it doesn't really come home and make that clear message as when we talk about an individual student who wants to grow up and become a police officer or a doctor or help people to be healthier or any of their dreams. And so this particular campaign is a social media campaign, and it is to tell individual student stories, those students from all across the state, through videos, through photos, and we are providing the materials to school districts to use the materials in their local districts to tell the stories of their individual students and then share them with us and with the rest of the state.
So you're essentially highlighting individual students and their dreams, their goals, and their achievements as well?
Yes, and their achievements as well. And so it varies from very young students up through community college students, and you get to see kind of the whole story. We have some videos, and we will be rolling out some more videos here very soon. And those are available on www.promiseoregon.org.
PromiseOregon.org. It's also a link from our website at jeffexchange.org and from our Facebook page as well. We're talking to Betsy Miller-Jones. She's the Executive Director of the Oregon School Boards Association about the Promise of Oregon campaign. You can join us on the Exchange as we talk about school funding and this campaign in particular, 800-838-3760. Anywhere you can hear us, 800-838-3760. Or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So this is an interesting process then. I mean, how did you go about finding the students whose stories are told?
Well, we talked, you know, I told you earlier, our members are local school boards. So we talked with the boards and the superintendents and made a very concerted effort to talk to students from all different backgrounds and regions of the state. And it was a matter of working with the local districts as to, with our schedule and the travel and all of that, as to who was most interested and had the time and ability to do it. And we worked with Blue Chalk Media, which is from Portland. They did the videography and the photos and were wonderful to work with.
And they've got big pictures.
They have great pictures of wonderful kids, yes. We also have a celebrity spokesperson, Nicholas Kristof, who was raised in Yamhill, graduated from Yamhill Carleton High School. He's a New York Times Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, and we have a video of him speaking about his educational experience and how it helped to launch his career, as well as the work he does, which is talking about a lot of third world challenges and the role of education. So he's an excellent spokesperson for us.
He absolutely is the world traveler, so he does have some basis of comparison for looking at schools in other parts of the world in addition to in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I notice on the PromiseOregon.org site that the references to funding for K-14 education. I think now that you've explained that the Oregon School Boards Association includes boards from community colleges, I understand what grades 13 and 14 are.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, very much so. And we, as you had noted earlier, we're going to be working very carefully in this legislative session on a variety of issues, but budgeting and funding is a large part of that, and we're very appreciative of the work that the Ways and Means co-chairs have done to bring back a budget proposal that's higher than what the governor had brought, and the role of Representative Buckley, who is from the Ashland area, on that proposal.
Which reminds me, we need to get him in the studio fairly soon before he takes off for Salem to find out what's up with the numbers there.
Yeah.
So many numbers do get thrown around at the dawn of any legislative session, which we're not quite to yet. But among the numbers and the ones that you cite at the PromiseOregon.org website is the 40-40-20 formula, which Governor Kitzhaber has espoused for several years now. So it's is it 40% with maybe you can lay it out
better than I can. Yeah, it's a little confusing. You know, I mean, we do. We use that number often. But here's the way I look at it, which is that 100% of our students will graduate from high school by 2025. And because we are very focused on that K-14, that 100% number is very meaningful to us. The 40-40-20 says that 40% of graduates will graduate with their end degree will be a bachelor's degree or higher. 40% their end degree will be a community college or professional certificate of some sort, and only 20% their end degree will be a high school diploma. But for us in the K-12, K-14 world, the important concept is that we're looking to make sure that 100% of all students graduate from high school by 2025.
That is the easiest way to look at it. 40-40-20 equals 100.
Right.
But now we're talking about 10 years from now. We're talking essentially this year's second graders.
Correct.
All graduating from high school. Is
Correct.
That doable?
It's a stretch, it's a reach, it's a dream, and I think it's an appropriate one. Yes, I believe it's doable, but we all have to get behind it, and that's part of the reason for the Promise of Oregon campaign. In order to make these dreams come true for these promised students, we have to all get behind public education in Oregon and work to support them in meeting their dreams, which ultimately will meet Oregon's dreams.
Who's the primary focus of the campaign? Who are you trying to reach with this?
This is what makes it different for the Oregon School Boards Association. We're trying to reach the all the voters in Oregon, all of the adults, the community, the business people, not just our board members, not just legislators. We believe that in order to significantly change the culture around education in Oregon, that we need everyone to have this as a priority, to see that it supports all of us and all of our futures. So we're reaching out to all Oregonians on this campaign. We're urging local schools to put it on their website, get their families involved, take photos of their kids, tell their stories, their communities, because that's what it's really going to take to turn around the low graduation rates and the high class sizes and the short school year.
You started the campaign in mid-November, is that right?
Yes, we started planning it last summer, so the kickoff was at our November annual convention in Portland, yes.
And what kind of responses have you gotten so far?
Very, very positive. Lots of participation. You'll see if you look on the website, there's photos that have been sent in by school districts. Portland Public Schools have photos of their students telling their stories. We have over 70 local districts that have passed a resolution that's on the website, and we're getting more in all the time. Phoenix Talent has passed the resolution, and the Medford Board is scheduled to vote at the January 26th meeting here very shortly. They're also planning to take photos of the kids in their schools as part of the campaign starting in February. So some of it is just getting underway, but very positive. And some of the districts are using the campaign with other outreach activities that they're doing. The Washington County schools are going to be holding some regional meetings on legislative issues, and they'll be sharing the video, those kinds of things.
We're talking to Betsy Miller-Jones, the executive director of the Oregon School Boards Association, about the Promise of Oregon campaign at promiseoregon.org. You can join our discussion about the Promise of Oregon campaign and its goals, which include more school funding for Oregon schools in this next legislative session. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 around the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. And I must say, as I'm looking at this again at promiseoregon.org right now, it is just full of faces. You've really taken what can be a very number-heavy kind of thing where we're talking specifics and ratios and 40-40-20 and all that stuff, and there are just kids looking at you from this screen.
That's right. That's right. We want to tell those individual stories because that's where the difference is made. You'll also see photos of adults that are holding a sign saying, I'm keeping the Promise of Oregon. And we have toolkits on the website that allow anyone to download the materials, including they can print their own signs that say, I am the Promise of Oregon for students to hold up. They can download the I'm keeping the Promise of Oregon sign for adults to hold up and have their photo taken. And you can share with us by adding the hashtag PromiseOR to any photos that are pasted that are posted to local district or individual Facebook pages. With that hashtag PromiseOR, it will show up in our feed as well, and we can help to promote it.
You have a phone call for you. Here's Ryan in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Betsy Miller-Jones from the Oregon School Boards Association.
Well, good morning, Betsy. This is a great conversation. I'm the director of an after-school program that focuses on high school graduation and college and career access for minority youth in Oregon. And, you know, one of the challenges in this cultural change necessary to get that second graders to graduate at 100% in 40-40-20, is a really strong connection to community, a connection to the context of academic learning within the context of solving problems. And, And one of the things that I'm worried about is to get that second grader to succeed, we may have to change our definition of achievement. Simply, you know, factoid-based learning isn't a very modern view of the skills necessary for being college and career ready. So how do we do that? How do we change this conversation so that we can help that young person envision, engage, get that science, STEM, identity going, all the rest of those pieces?
All right. Thanks for the question, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Wow, that is a great question, and I think that speaks very strongly to the fact that we need our entire communities, our entire state, behind moving student achievement forward for all of our students. It is a cultural shift in the way we think about education and making sure that all kids meet their goals. It does require changes in our schools, and it requires resources, and resources include time and professional development for educators and all of those pieces, and that's the conversation we're trying to advance here with this campaign. School board members are lay people who are elected to their boards. Many times within a board there will be someone with an education background, but they aren't the professional educators, and that's the conversation we want to have happen, but we want the professional educators to be part of that, and the community members and people like Ryan who are working so hard to make sure that all of our students get the chance and the necessary resources to meet their dreams and to graduate from school. So we leave the details of those conversations to the professional educators, but we want the communities to be aware and involved and supportive, and that's part of what we're trying to do here with this campaign.
Now, since the Promise of Oregon campaign began, we got the news that Oregon ranks apparently 41st among states, mm-hmm. according to Education
yes.
Week, in its quality of education, even lower, 46th for early childhood education. Now, I know you represent school boards, but should you consider dropping the bottom end of K-14 a little lower if part of our problem is early childhood education?
You know, I think the governor has put a focus on early childhood education because it plays a role in providing when children show up then in K-12, they're better prepared, and we can move them forward more quickly, meet their needs. So it is a very good thing. I think it is a good priority, early childhood education. It's just we need to make sure that we don't add to our system costs without looking at where the money is coming from. And this gets to the really sticky discussion of, you know, there simply isn't enough money to go around. The pie isn't big enough. And so we always end up trying to figure out where the priorities are going to be. Certainly early childhood education is very important. And right now what we're looking at is trying to figure out how to do more for early childhood education without taking away from the already stressed K-12 and K-14 system.
I know that when we talk about numbers, there can be a whole bunch of them. You have chosen to focus on education as a percentage of the state budget, but is that a fairly reliable figure? Because if you end up with 54% of a small budget, it's still
right.
better than like 37%
right.
of a huge budget.
No, and that's why I said earlier, that's only one. When you look at the long-term trend, mm-hmm. we tend to talk about the fact that the percentage of the general fund has dropped, and we've only just recently started to stop that decline, turn that around. But we do look at absolute the total dollars for any given biennial budget, and that's where Representative Buckley and Senator Devlin, co-chairs of Ways and Means, brought back a budget which increased from the governor's initial budget of about $6.9 billion they've increased it to about $7.2. We would like to continue working with them on a budget that would come closer to $7.5 billion for the biennium this time, and that'll be the ongoing conversation. So we certainly do talk in terms of the total dollars. But when you look historically over the trend, it's helpful to look at how it compares to a common measurement because you've got inflation and all sorts of other things built in there.
All right, so let's talk about the numbers index. And the governor proposed about $6.9 billion for, this is K-12 we're talking about? Or
yes, and it includes full-day kindergarten, which is we have to be careful that that's a new expense for districts. So you're looking at about $225 million of that being a completely new expense for districts.
All right. So the co-chairs, Senator Devlin, Representative Buckley, are proposing more than the $6.9 billion. Yes. They want to go to $7.24 billion.
Right.
You are looking at $7.5 billion. So we're specific enough. And again, these are huge
right.
numbers, but specific enough that it looks like you have some ideas about specifically which programs you'd like to see added back or something.
Well, we want to make sure that local districts have the ability to make a decision about what they add back, because they made the decisions about what they cut, and it does vary between districts. You'll find that some districts made the choice of going with larger class sizes over number of days. Others reduced days in order to maintain class sizes. Then we have program differences between schools, so they need to have some local authority over what they add back. The 7.5 number was arrived at by working with the superintendents and business managers from all over the state, all of whom have different situations in their schools, and trying to arrive at a number that would allow them to not only stabilize what they have now, but meet any new requirements that are there, such as providing all-day kindergarten, which is not a mandate, but it is strongly encouraged by the way we fund from the budget.
Will it become a mandate down the road?
I have no idea. And
at this point, it's not, though.
At this point, it is not. However, if a school district does not participate, they don't get the funding for it, and since the pie stays the same size, they get a little less for all their other kids to wait for the kindergartners. It's kind of an interesting concept.
Betsy, we got about a minute left. I know that the discussion tends to be about hitting a number, mm-hmm. and then obviously lots of different numbers get discussed. Is there any discussion coming from the Oregon School Boards Association in this legislative session about a different structure?
You know, we talk about it regularly. If you talk about a different structure in terms of funding, mm-hmm. revenue, all of that, I don't think Oregon is ready for that conversation in this legislative session. But if long-term we're successful with the Promise of Oregon campaign, and we're going to change the culture around education in this state, I think we're going to have to look at a different funding structure, look at some versions of tax reform, revenue reform. So there's more work to be done.
All right. The campaign is called Promise of Oregon, The Promise of Oregon. You can find it at promiseoregon.org. It is put out by the Oregon School Boards Association, where Betsy Miller-Jones is the executive director, and she's been our guest on The Exchange. Betsy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.